your own. Hoping the streets will somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you. Tell me,
do you really think that
the government cares about you?
No, they don't.
Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to next?
Who you gonna turn to? Listen to me, I'm trying to tell y'all, yeah.
Ghetto people,
ghetto people. Stop it,
young people.
Show some love for yourself, people. Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need. What you really want inside can only come from you. The day will come when all of your pride leaves you standing around looking like, what am I gonna do? You have those feelings deep inside, a strange kind of sadness can never get used to.
Ghetto people,
ghetto people,
what are you trying to prove?
Come on, tell me, y'all.
Do you really think that?
Do you really think that
the world gives a damn about you?
Hell no, it don't. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to? Listen, people, you better take a look at yourself, yeah. Talking to my people,
but you just don't see
what you're living
like at. You're living,
living like you're living,
caught up in the make-believe,
lost in your dreams,
yeah.
Ghetto people,
stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it,
young people.
Talking to my people, yeah. Can take some strange turns on you. Living with the bangs thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances on the shortfalls of greed will never come to feel what you need when what you really want inside can only come.
Motherland Media is on the air. You are listening to African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. African Perspectives, where we talk about the issues of our day from an African worldview, an African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak. Having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. So I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is always an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who is living, and everyone who will live in the future. We have a common ancestral root. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were other cultures as well, such as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, great civilizations that were flourishing while Europe was still in a medieval or dark age. So we pour this libation to those contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, uprooted out of Africa, laying a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. They are now in North America, Central America, South America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to brothers and sisters who suffered the Holocaust of enslavement, of captivity. We do not know their names, but because of them, we are here. So we honor them and their sacrifice. We say Ashe. We pour libation to those men and women who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you'll know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a slave want to do? It wants to get free. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting on the continent, throughout the Middle Passage, and this hemisphere. We resisted. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master, and we haven't and we will never submit. So we give honor and reverence to those men and women who fought. Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, and many, many others. We honor them. We respect them for always standing and fighting for the liberation of our people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We say ashe. We pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is bad because we lack consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. It's a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, historically, and the necessity to come together to produce family, which is produces good community life. So we pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We say ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Abargani family. And of course, the answer today is Kuji Chagalia. In fact, let's play a little Kuji Chagalia.
Just hanging in the balance, so we must do whatever can be done. We
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. That is Kwame Cobb and Shavinduka out of Chicago, taken from the Kwanzaa album, The Seven Principles. And if you can go online to YouTube, you can pull all that up and download that from somehow, or see if you can go to a record store, go to the music store and see if you can purchase that, or go online, you know, see if you can purchase that. Great, just fantastic songs. And brother Kwame Cobb and Shavinduka, just a beautiful, beautiful couple. Fortunate to have them in Milwaukee a few times. In fact, even in Chicago, when we had our National Black Firefighters Convention in the middle 90s, we had a cultural night, and they were the performance. And of course, her voice is just outstanding. There's a few cuts I'm going to be playing for you, particularly Friday and next week, Monday. Monday, of course, is the last day of Kwanzaa, which is Imani Faith. And so we're going to be playing Shavinduka and others. Well, you know, Monday I played Teddy Pendergrass's Kwanzaa song. A lot of people didn't know that Teddy Pendergrass had made a Kwanzaa song. And that's an outstanding piece as well. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradio.com. And we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Wednesday, tonight, this evening, it is Revive with Sister POC. Revive from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Tomorrow, Thursday, it is Us Lifting Us with Brother DJ, Baba Kambizi, Baba Akima, Sister Nanana, Sister Shay, and Baba Thurman, and the good brothers and sisters. The cafe is moving along. In fact, I'm going to be there tomorrow working real hard, because tomorrow is Collective Work and Responsibility, Ujima. Tomorrow is Ujima. So if you can grab some of your friends, or if you can go to some place where they're doing something positive and they're doing something and you can join in as a collective, that's what it's about tomorrow. Collective Work and Responsibility. Maybe there's a junk room you need, or a junk drawer or something that needs to be dealt with. But for me, it is the Ulu Cafe and Internet. It is Cafe Ulu and the Internet Cafe that I'm going to be dealing with tomorrow, because we're definitely trying to get that off the ground. Saw some really good pictures. A lot of the remodeling work is being done. I'm going to try to get in where I can fit in tomorrow. So Us Lifting Us tomorrow evening right here on Time for an Awakening. And, of course, Friday, if it is 8 p.m. Friday evening Eastern time, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Richard and Brother Elliot. And on Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, it's SST, that's Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Saturday afternoon, we're going to try to get this together, because Dr. Rogers needs to be on with us right here on the Motherland Media Network, right here on Time for an Awakening. And that is Black Reality Think Tank from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then on Sunday, it is Revive once again from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, if it's Sunday evening and it's 7 p.m. in the evening, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. More programs to come right here. And I know Black by Black 365 is going to have a program. If you're not hip to Black by Black 365, it's a networking group that promotes American African businesses. And also, too, in the spirit of Ujima, like Ulu, you know, spreading cooperative economics, working together, you know. So last Friday I had my good brother and friend out of New York, Basir, Brother Mchawi, Basir Mchawi, who had worked on Kwanzaa in its inception. And I know we give all the praise to Malana Karinga for its creation. And I've stated many times, I The concept is what I grasp, not the creator. I'm down with the concept. It's just like this thing with Dr. Umar Johnson. I'm down with what Dr. Umar has been talking about. I would hope that anybody who comes out front to our people and proposes things, that when they propose them and then our people act on them, that what is supposed to be done is going to be done. If there is some accounting to be done, that is done. If there's some accountability, that is done. If there's some transparency that should take place because of issues that may arise or have arise, that should be done. You know? Because to me, in this stage of our situation, that's one thing that we don't need, and that's why Kwanzaa is so important, because of the value principles of Kwanzaa. That's why I can easily separate myself from Malana Karinga and the creation of Kwanzaa. Easily. Because I'm down with the idea and the concept of Kwanzaa and its seven principles. I'm going to be mentioning this periodically throughout the broadcasting periodically. And that is my good sister and friend, Dr. Ani, sent me a piece on the Kwanzaa, the Nguza Saba, the Kwanzaa principles, from a sovereignty standpoint. Now, once again, maybe we need to revisit sovereignty and what it means. I know last night I saw Sister Ya. She is the wife of Baba Mwalimu Baruti. And Brother Baruti has been outstanding. I don't know how many books he has written, a great number of them. And so he is very well respected in our community for what he has done. And I know that he's had some health challenges with his back, but sister said that he is doing much better, and I'm really thankful of that. He's in South Carolina. He's going to be talking about some Kwanzaa and the importance of embracing the principles in our daily lives, and of course coming from a sovereignty standpoint. Because if you listen to this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time, that you know that this program promotes independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. It is not a debate on this program whether that should happen or not. So that's ludicrous, to debate with ourselves whether we should be free and sovereign. That's crazy. What we should be discussing is how do we achieve it? What are the best methods? And if somebody has a differing point, that's fine. As long as we're going in that same direction or going to that same achieved, we're going to achieve that same goal. And the goal is sovereignty. The success. This is what Baba Baruti has said. The successful outcome of any nationalist movement is sovereignty for the people. Being sovereign means having absolute control over the life of the nation. Right now, as always, for African people, sovereignty is measured by how intelligently, independently, and powerfully we control our resources. We control our story, our culture, time, space, and destiny. It is to have the power within the nation to control our lives and to control them in our best interest, regardless of the opposition from outside. Accordingly, being sovereign has to mean that there is no one beyond us who makes any decisions about how we rule ourselves, how we live, what we believe, how we deal with enemies, whether aliens or traitors within ourselves, amongst us, and how we visualize our future, communicate and express that vision. It means that we are in complete control, completely and consciously. We are self-defining, self-determining, self-empowered, and self-respecting. And since no nation has ever risen to power and stayed there without holding their own tradition sacred, sovereignty necessarily means that we know, respect, protect, and extend in time through every coming generation who we are has a direct reflection of our ancestors. Sovereignty must be. It is an imperative. Sovereignty is our ultimate goal. And so, Sister Ani, Mama Marimba, instead of the usual Kwanzaa principles, as it has been stated many, many, many times, she put an African sovereignty imperative of the Unguza Saba together. And so, of course, yesterday was Umoja. Today is Kujichagulia. Tomorrow is Ujima. Friday is Ujamaa. Saturday is Nia, purpose. Sunday is creativity, Kumba. And Monday is Imani, faith. Umoja. The Pan-African vision of African people throughout the world joining forces to fight for African sovereignty and to build an African world order. Once again, on this program, this is what we promote. This is what we are saying as African people, that we must be free. We must be independent. We must be self-determining. We must be liberated. We must be sovereign. And so the idea for us is finding a way to achieve that African world order that has been shaped and fashioned in our image and in our interest by us. Kujichagulia, self-determination. African people defining ourselves and determining our own destiny as a sovereign people. Point blank. Defining for ourselves, determining for ourselves. What way do we go? We ain't asking nobody for nothing. Because brothers and sisters, there was a period of time in ancient Kemet when we built the civilization that are now, of course, is over 4,000 or 5,000 years old. But we did that, and we didn't ask nobody outside of ourselves. Would you help us? Can I get your permission, please? We did it. And we did it in such a magnificent way. And many people do not understand how we did it and can't comprehend how we did it, but we did it. And it became the light of the world, that the world emulated us. The world came to sit at our feet to learn science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it. We did it. Ujima. Collective work and responsibility. African people working together, being responsible for, to, and for each other. They accepting a common system of accountability. We accept a system of accountability that we agree on, that's what we're going to do. We're going to work together. We're going to share resources. We're going to help one another. We are an African people. And whatever we do is designed for the future of African people. We're not leaving it in anybody else's hands. It is our work to be done. Ujamaa, creating economic cooperatives based on the concept of African familyhood, interdependence, interrelationships, and community, national, global, African unity. Unity on the continent. Unity throughout the diaspora of African people. Malik Shabazz said it best. He said that the African will never be respected until Africa is free and self-determining. Look at us. Look at the world. Look at our situation. It is a damn shame that in Zimbabwe, after deposing Mugabe, and let me put this out there before I get back to the other principles. Once they kicked the European off the land, they should have had ready or begin to prepare to have individuals come together to work commercial farms. A group of people to work commercial farms and to employ our people. Because once they deposed him, one of the first things that the new president has done is allow Caucasians back on the land that they stole. That scene I seen on Facebook just sickened me. To see these Africans in Zimbabwe just hoping and hollering and praising and hugging and all these Caucasians, it was sad. And then he said, the president of Zimbabwe, I'm willing, we want to rejoin the British Commonwealth. We want to rejoin the British Commonwealth. That's why I'm adamant about saying that this struggle for Africa is an international struggle. It is not just about what's happening in Atlanta, Chicago, Milwaukee, LA, or in the United States, or in the Caribbean, or anywhere else. This struggle is about Africa and African people, and who is going to control Africa and African people. Will it be Africans, or will it continue to be the Europeans? Or anybody else, Chinese, Indian, who's going to control Africa and African people? Family economics, family-centered economics, Ujamaa, that is interdependent and has interrelationships. We must control our destiny. It is ludicrous to believe that these let's look, you know, once again, Malik Shabazz. And of course, somebody said, well, the quote is Elijah Muhammad, but whatever. Of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history. Look at the history. Because we've been so well trained to love our oppressor, and to hate us, the oppressed, that we give crackers, Caucasians, consistently the benefit of the doubt. Because why? Because our training, and we keep hoping and praying that they'll eventually respect our humanity and respect us and share with us in this country. Give us a piece of this rotten, nasty pie to share in what has been stolen. NIA, purpose. African people sharing common goals that determine our commitments and guide our choices and decisions. This gives purpose to our lives and to our work and tells us why we were born African. Our purpose. Our purpose, dear brothers and sisters. Not here in America. Because here in America, which promotes individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, you think your purpose is yours alone. You think your purpose is to get as much education you feel as possible and for you to earn as much money as you can. That's your purpose, to live a lifestyle, to live in a particular neighborhood, to drive a particular kind of car. You feel that is your purpose. From an African sovereignty standpoint, your purpose is to share common goals that determine our commitments and guide our choices and decisions, that gives purpose to our lives and to our work and tells us why we were African and what we still must do and the things that we still must be. That is our purpose. Collectively. And you should subordinate your selfish impulse to understand the common good of the purpose for us as a whole. That what you do and how you do it reflects on all of us. Kumba, creativity. To think with African minds and to create from our African center. When we practice this principle, we no longer imitate non-Africans. We make our own way. Creativity. We were the first people on the planet. if we were the first people on the planet, we had the first civilizations on the planet. And our creativity built a civilization that lasted thousands of years. A civilization that respected women. A civilization that cared for elders. A civilization through trial and error we did what was best for the people. Nothing is perfect, but you work at it. Nothing is all good, but you find out what is best using your creativity. The same kind of creativity that we have on the sports fields and courts. The same kind of creativity that we have on stage or on film. The same kind of creativity that goes beyond the imposed boundaries that Caucasians have set for us that we can participate in. We're so good at entertaining, aren't we? Well, yeah, because that's an area that this society wants. We have always been entertainers and workers in this society from the moments we were brought here. Entertain Caucasians. And that's why that what Colin Kaepernick did to bring attention, to bring awareness to the fact that we were being killed by the authorities in this country without any redress. And because he did that and used his platform as a NFL player, brought scorn. How dare you kneel to our anthem? How dare you disrespect our troops? How dare you disrespect our flag? How dare you? And because of that, he was whiteballed. And so were others who protested, like Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, when he played for the Denver Nuggets in the NBA, which prompted a NBA rule. So I'm saying, dear brother, use our creativity in the benefit for us as African people. And not just from an entertainment standpoint, no, the creativity that can design better energy sources for African people, that can make sure that the water that is necessary and needed for things to grow and for our land and to drink will be there. Use the creativity to create roads and highways, train systems, schools, hospitals, major institutions, ports. Use the creativity to transform the continent. Kick out the Chinese, kick out the Indians, kick out the Europeans. And if you want something, you will pay for it at a fair market price. Africa has always had what everybody wants and think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Dr. John Henry Clark. Imani, faith. To believe in the vision of African sovereignty and to have that passion and that will, that heart, to bring it into being. To believe in the vision of African sovereignty. Yes, I know we should have faith in God, whatever we want to call God. I know that a lot of times because of the religions that we now profess or that was given to us or that we grew up in, and we hold tight to that religion, and sometimes that is one, in fact, no, sometimes nothing. It is a serious impediment for African sovereignty, for African unity, for African people working together, because you have been trained to believe that it is more important to be a Christian. It is more important to be a Muslim. It's more important to be a Black Hebrew Israelite, Seventh Day Adventist, Nation of Islam, 5%er, follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. All these factions, all these divisions amongst our people. Once again, the wisdom of Malik El-Shabazz. He said, when I come to the meeting, to the table, to discuss how we as African people are going to deal with the situation that we're confronted with. If I come with my religion, we're going to have some arguments. We're going to have some disagreements. It's going to be kind of tough. So I'm going to leave my religion at home or put it in my back pocket. I'm coming there as an African, coming to do the business to help African people. I'm not espousing Islam. I'm not espousing Christianity. I'm not espousing any kind of religion. I'm espousing brotherhood and sisterhood amongst African people on the continent throughout the diaspora. And I'm coming to work. I'm coming to do whatever I can to help African people. This is the kind of faith that we need to have in ourselves and each other. If Christianity is your faith, whatever denomination that could be, if Islam is your faith, whatever faction or denomination that could be, or Israel, Hebrew, whatever. Because we don't catch hell from the Caucasians because we are some religious denomination or AKA Mega Sci-Fi, NACP, Urban League. No, we catch hell because we are Africans. We catch hell because we are Africans. Not because we're Americans, because if we were American, we shouldn't be catching no hell, should we? We're American. No, brothers and sisters, we are not American. America is synonymous with being Caucasians. Isn't that what Donald Trump feels? And isn't that what all his cohorts feel? Isn't that what the Republican Party is espousing? And even the Democratic Party? That's what it means to be American. Not the BS ideas and the melting pot and all this garbage that they throw out there. America, the United Snakes of America, is the military arm, is the bastion of European Caucasian supremacy, racism, and privilege in the world. They are the main military force. They sell weapons around the world. They arm countries to the teeth. They start wars. They implement them. They inject themselves into to cause divisions and all kinds of dissension within groups and countries. They assassinate and kill leaders. They destabilize countries. They mess with people's voting. That's why it's such a joke about the Russian messing with the United States. That's the thing, how slick the United States snakes is because of its ability to manipulate mass media. They control it. And so you thinking that American way of doing things is the most preferred, is the best, and everybody should follow suit in that. And so you think and you feel that the way elections are held anywhere else is probably wrong and corrupt, but not in America. When you have seen the last number of elections where a person can win the majority of the votes in a presidential election and yet lose the election, you've seen it. Because that's how this system is. It puts in who it wants. And if it don't want you, you know, and it puts in those who they want, because those who they want will continue the status quo. You ain't getting in being no reformer. You ain't getting in being somebody who's going to upset the apple cart. You ain't getting in somebody who's going to disrupt the status quo. You are not getting in. We thought that. No, I didn't. I didn't think that when Barack Obama was going to be elected. But what I said was this. If the election of Barack Obama, that there is a measured, not monumental, but even so incrementally measured that our condition as African people here in this country is better. Less mass incarceration, less crime, education, housing, health, health care. All these things incrementally, because as we know, when you look at social ills in this country, it's more profound in us than anybody else. So I'm saying incrementally, is it better? And unfortunately, it was worse. Some say worse. Tavis Smiley, who has issues to deal with, his name escaped me. It'll come to me, you know, Cornel West. And they said it was worse. Julianne Malvo, Professor Julianne Malvo, Dr. Malvo, she said that status quo was maintained. No worse, no better. But basically, those who even object to say, the presidency of Barack Obama was truly a situation or a case of symbolism without substance. We were so enamored with the idea of an African, American African person being the president of the United States that we just liked the idea and he was cool. He had understand this. It is a number of things that I've said about this presidency. And then it ain't no crack on Yaka Kodo, because I like Yaka Kodo. But if he looked like Yaka Kodo, he wouldn't have been president. Let's be real. If Barack Obama was a heavily melanated brother with serious African features, he would not be president of the United States. He had to have an American African wife. He had to. I doubt very serious if he would have had a Caucasian wife. And being, let's take them both, he was dark-skinned, he was heavily melanated, and he had a Caucasian wife. Please, you know better. Come on. It's America. But they chose him. He was selected. And he did what he was supposed to do. I mean, once he got elected, because I voted for him. He's the only person I ever voted for president, because I never vote for the Caucasians, ever, never will. But anyway, so having done that, said, maybe, let's give a cat a chance. And so then realizing that we couldn't do anything, or that he couldn't do anything overt and get reelected. So everybody was just waiting the 4 years out. You know, of course, in his first term, he instituted the Affordable Health Care Act. Initially on the campaign, he was talking about single payer, which would be a real monumental thing in terms of health care. But he had to acquiesce, and he went along with what Mitt Romney did in Massachusetts, which is an affordable insurance. Affordable insurance. And how that works is that a whole bunch of people, particularly young people, have to pay into it, who may never even go to a doctor for a checkup in a year, but surely won't have any serious preconditions. So a whole bunch of young people have to pay into it, which would keep the premiums down, because older people like myself and those who have other ailments and preconditions, you know, to keep those premiums down, that's what the young people have to. But when young people said, no, we're not going to pay into it, those insurance companies, man, some premiums were just off the chain. There were some people who were paying $1,500 more a month. So it was affordable insurance, which became unaffordable because of how the situation happened. And then, of course, all of the backlash or the white lash against it. And it was against it from jump, because in essence, the society just should have said, listen, this is the best. Look at other countries in Western society. Should have took a damn step back. Look at all the other countries in Western society. They have free health care for their citizens. why can't America have free health care for its citizens? Number one, because it pays so damn much money into the military. For what? Ain't nobody going to mess with America. Knowing what it can do. But you put all that money and all the scare tactics while you go around bullying. See, but when you live in a deep capitalistic society that America is, it's all about money. That's why when somebody said, well, America has the best health care system. No, it doesn't. It has the best health care system that money can buy. Because if you got money, there are people globally. You see, here's the irony. There are people globally who are rich will come to America for care. But there are people in America who can't afford it here will go to France, Spain, Mexico, maybe even go to Cuba for health care because it's affordable. That one piece I'd seen, which was very interesting, I can't remember what the procedure was, but it said the procedure in America would cost $40,000. Found out the procedure in Spain or something like that was $7,000. So that individual had $33,000 to play with. They could take a first-class flight to Spain. They could go to Monaco or anywhere else in Spain and live lavishly for a minute. And have that procedure done and still come back $33,000. Because it was $40,000 for the procedure. But in America, that's what it was in America, but in Spain it was seven. So, you know, that should have happened. The American people should have said, but it doesn't. You know what? I don't give a damn what they don't give a damn what the American people say. This is an oligarchy. This is run by corporations and individuals with serious wealth. That's what this is. This isn't government by the people, for the people, and other people, all that be. No. This is a serious example of European Caucasian supremacy, racism, and privilege. And the reason why it's a serious one, because like unlike other countries that might be a little bit more homogeneous, I remember seeing a piece on Japan and the fact that Japan doesn't have this and doesn't have that. Well, it's homogeneous. Everybody, you know, why there's so few people engage in crime, why their streets are clean, why? Because of the social order, where the Japanese people respect one another. That's why in Japan, they realize from a safety standpoint that nobody can be careless because of the consequences. In Tokyo, you see how people live. They stacked up on each other. They have a fire in one place. It's a conflagration. A conflagration is a big-ass fire. It's a serious fire that could literally wipe out blocks, or if not half miles, miles. With multiple numbers of deaths, mass casualties. So people are conscious and aware. But here in this country, their attitude is, what's in it for me? I don't give a damn about the social order. I don't give a damn about, I'm trying to get mine, because that's what America's about. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. So I'm trying to get mine. Yeah. So that's what happened with that, brothers and sisters. And so Barack Obama just became a figurehead like all the other previous so-called commanders in chief. Now, this fool Trump that's in there now took it to a whole nother level. And to some degree, you know, I jokingly said that he was going to win. And I meant that jokingly. And then when he did win, I was like, damn. But now you can see why I said damn, because he has been able to really,
In fact, one of the things that he wants to do to anything that Obama did, he wants to undo. But also, too, look at now how the world views this country. Because they've had presidents, even Reagan, that were more diplomatic. This man is an arrogant, narcissistic buffoon, a fool. And then everybody who, of course, is his mouthpiece, they go along and they reiterate the lies. Nikki Haley, before the vote was given, who was the former governor of South Carolina when Dylann Roof killed those nine brothers and sisters in that church. And then some of us hailed her. I don't give a damn about her. And then, of course, when Trump became 45, he appointed her as the UN ambassador. And so she spoke in front of the UN before the vote to talk about Jerusalem being the capital. Understand, I can't even understand how this man could say, by doing that, we'll move the peace process along, knowing that is that the city of Jerusalem is a mode of contention for the three religious groups, the three major religious groups, and that nobody should choose one group over the other in that situation. But he did it. And the European Jews were happy. When he did that, the European Jews were ecstatic. And the rest of the world was pissed. Many governments said they will not move their embassy to Jerusalem. And then Haley gets up there and says, hey, if you don't vote the way we want you to vote, then your contributions from the United States may be in jeopardy. Some more white male. And of course, the majority of the people who, majority of the countries voted against the United States, as rightfully as they should. That's crazy. That's crazy. But that's the arrogance. That is the arrogance. We're going to take a break in a minute. And when we come back, we'll talk more about Kwanzaa and the importance of Kwanzaa. That's why I love what Dr. Arnie did for me, Marimba did for me, in terms of sending me this information. He didn't do it for me.
This call is being recorded.
An African perspective, you know, on Kwanzaa and giving us a sovereigntist interpretation of the Nguza Saba. Because if you read the Nguza Saba, and I love it, you know, it's general, but this is direct. This is saying this is what we must do in these seven areas of unity and self-determination, collective responsibility, familyhood, purpose, creativity, and faith. These are the areas of how we must deal with this. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk further about the importance of putting the Kwanzaa principles into our everyday lives. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Our roots go back to Africa, to know all the reasons that we're spread over the diaspora. You know our culture keeps us connected to our motherland, to all our brothers and sisters, let us now extend our hand.
teach the principles that we must learn to reap the wealth of every seed we sow. The Nguzo Saba gives us values and a way to show we're building a future we can harvest so the world will know.
We come from
list of all the things our freedom consists of. We share the purpose our people must unite for, determine for ourselves what we choose to live or die for. We have the faith, the creative mind. It comes to us through our ancestral bloodline. Collective work, responsibility for our global economics and political destiny.
I want to say that I'm an African. I celebrate Kwanzaa because I'm an African.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any time around the world. And if you can't listen live, you can always go to the archives on blacktalkradionetwork.com. and pull up previous recorded programs. Brothers and sisters, we are, oh, this is what I got to say, Abargani, Kujichagulia. That's right, today is the second day of Kwanzaa, Kujichagulia, self-determination. And of course, what I was reading to you previously was what Sister Marimba Ani sent me on the sovereignty, the sovereigntist interpretation of the Nguzo Saba. Because to me, if we're not working towards sovereignty for African people, if we're not working towards African people determining their own destiny, if we're not working for African people to come together, to share their resources, and to defend themselves, to learn to respect themselves and build with each other, then what are we doing, brothers and sisters? We have some callers. I'm going to have a guest, but I'm going to take some callers right now. Area code 267.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie, Brother Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, dear brother. How are you today, Ralph?
Man, I can't complain about nothing.
Okay.
I had a job that got canceled, so I said, great.
Oh, okay.
I had 5 days away from the plantation.
Yeah,
but, Brother Oshie, I knew you have a guest, so I'm going to make this quick, man. You said something just a little while ago that I hear on all the, black talk radio forums around the country. And I'm trying to figure out, what exactly are we supposed to get upset about? You're saying that Trump is in there removing all the policies that Barack Obama put in place. What policy really irritates you that he's removing that Barack Obama put in place?
Nothing. Because not a damn thing. because there was.
I thought it was just me. I said, maybe you're going to tell me something. He ain't removed the NDAA.
Exactly.
Now the only thing he did remove was that is met. For the poor folks that can't afford health insurance.
Right.
Now they don't get penalized by the IRS. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So no. There's many of the brothers and sisters and outside of our community who have who hailed Barack Obama, and just like Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, and there's a few other Caucasians who were great proponents for Barack Obama. I looked at his situation as it relates to us, because I said before he even became president, when he was running, I said that if he would be elected, and our condition is better in a small measure, not monumental, but in an incremental measure of less of us mass incarcerated, less of us poorly educated and health issues, housing, all the myriad of problems, unemployment, underemployment. If there's a small measure of improvement over that time, then electing him was the right thing to do. But if not, we can elect Mickey Mouse or Hillary Clinton or damn near Donald Trump. Because everything would be pretty much the same. And as you remember, Brother Ralph, still more of us were killed by the authorities under the president of the 8 years under Barack Obama.
Yep.
And still nothing was done. Still his Justice Department did not prosecute and convict the authorities who killed our brothers and sisters who were unarmed. Still.
They did nothing, man. And, you brought up a name a few weeks ago, and I said, I got a lot of this brother's books, so let me pull his books off the shelf. And that's Brother Ben Amin. Let me tell you something about what I'm reading one of his books now. And, even though he has a religion that I don't particularly, I don't agree with, I do agree with the brother's mindset. And he says some powerful stuff in there, man, about if you follow the politician and these politics, it's going to lead you to the road of darkness. And he was absolutely right about that, man, because our people went out there near 100% and voted for that Klan member, Doug Jones.
Yeah.
And the first thing he do is get himself an all-white senior staff. He's saying, don't impeach President Trump. So if that ain't a smack, if that don't wait, I put it out there because I got in my family, man, I deal with some mindsets. So I put it out there where they could see it, even comment on it. None of them want to talk about that. But just about a week or two when he won that thing, they were talking about we won.
Right,
we won.
Right.
We won what?
We ain't won a damn thing. We won nothing.
Brother Oshie, man, look, but that brother Ben Amin, he's the only one I've seen that put his belief in action and actually led some people away from this place.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I got to give it to him. So I ain't going to hold you up, brother.
All right, brother Ralph. Appreciate you, man.
And I'll continue listening, brother.
I appreciate
all right,
you, brother. Thank you.
Peace.
Thank you. Peace to you, brother Ralph. We also have another caller. We're going to take this caller before I get to my guest. I have a special guest. 602 area code. Is this brother Marcus?
Yes, brother.
Is this brother Marcus?
Brother,
how are you doing, dear brother? How are things in Memphis?
I'm doing great, brother. Just cold, you know, but it is what it is. You know, in reference to Obama, you know, we got to get sophisticated where we can use Tom, you know, because Tom is in the business of Tomming. So, you know, we have to get sophisticated other people. If white folks can use Tom, you know, we could use Tom too. You know what I'm saying? So we got to get more sophisticated and figure out how we can use Tom to our advantage. Because that's what Tom do. Now, the brother, Dr. Umar Johnson, I like the brother. Mm-hmm. You know, I like what the brother saying, you know, because the brother hitting our cylinders, knowing that we have a psychological problem as a people. And, you know, he was trying to set up an institution that would begin to solve some of these problems. But we have to remember, you know, the brother was looking for $4 million, right?
Yes.
The brother only collected 10% of that money.
Right, 400,000.
You know, 400,000, a little over $400,000. So he didn't even get halfway. And our people, yes, spend the money. You know, we are the only people who we give you 10 cents and say, you know, a job costs a dollar, and we give you 10 cents and say, okay, brother, we should go and do this. Go and solve the problem. No. You know what I'm saying? And then they go get some Negroes now to come and attack the brother. You see what I'm saying? And then they tear down. That's what I mean. End up in prison now. They may fine him for fraud and all kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And the brother was on point.
Well, he's definitely on point. But see, Brother Marcus, you know, I wish that, and I've had the opportunity. I know Umar Johnson. Umar Johnson knows me. I brought him to Milwaukee a number of times. And along with my good Sister Cheryl Blue, we brought him to Milwaukee. I've been to Milwaukee, I think, like, at least as far as I know, at least four times. So I know the brother, and I know his heart. But what should have happened is that he should have formed an organization around that instead of putting the onus squarely on him, which led to hints of impropriety. And that's what happened. Because, you know, I read this piece, and I looked at this piece at the end of October, when I talked about what he had been experiencing in terms of the people who are challenging him, and it is us. But then again, if they're saying, "Listen, brother, where's the money?" Then you should have the counting of it and the response. Exactly, and the transparency. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's where the problem come in. Well, you know, you say, a man once said, "You can light a candle in the Sahara Desert, you won't find a perfect man. But how we judge a man is if a man's vices outweigh his virtues, you can't use that man. You can't work with that man. But if his virtues outweigh his vices, then, you know, we can't work with him. So, you know, probably we should give the brother a little slack. You know what I'm saying? Because the brother trying to do the right thing, you know?
Yes!
Look how much money the white man rob us. Look how much he robbing us every day.
Every day.
He rob us millions. And we don't say nothing. But we quick to jump on the brother who's trying to do the right thing. So, you know, I know nobody perfect, but, you know, we got to give ourselves a little latitude. Anyway, I'll continue listening, Brother Oshie, and thank you so much.
Thank you, dear brother, and peace to you, Brother Marcus. Help. Thank you so much.
All right.
Always. Yeah. Brother Umar Johnson. Yeah, and he's going to be here tomorrow. He's going to be here in Atlanta at the Shrine of the Black Madonna where Kwanzaa is being held. We had a Kwanzaa celebration last night, the opening of Kwanzaa. And he'll be at the Shrine of the Black Madonna tomorrow. And I'm definitely going to go. I still support Umar Johnson. I just wish that he had made some better decisions, some better options, particularly when the so-called conscious stripper tried to expose him. He should have just ignored it and moved on. And, of course, the beef he had with Saru Seti and his vulgar self. And that got way out of, I mean, Umar was just on, I mean, profanity leaves. And then the attacks on him for the lack of accountability even got his father involved. And his father said, I don't know what the dude doing. You know, that was to me just, but I support him. I support his ideas. I do not support not being accountable to our people when you're asking our people, because he was going to build a school independently. He was, this is not a choice or charter school. This was independent with our money as a people. And I have no problem with that if there's accountability, because number one, I understand the importance of educating ourselves independently. I understand the importance of educating our people to be sovereign, to be nation builders, not to educate them to go beg for crackers for jobs. I want them to be educated, to be independent, to be self-determining, to be liberated, to be sovereign. That's the main thing for education for African people, to learn how to run something. That's what should have happened in Zimbabwe. Once they took office, train a number of people to run the farms, the businesses, to build stuff. That was a damn shame to me. Hurt me to my heart to see our brothers and sisters in Zimbabwe cheering these Caucasians on, hugging them. Oh, we're so glad to be back, Mas. And then talking about we want to rejoin the British Commonwealth. That's sad. That's sick. But last night, the opening of Kwanzaa, and I'm a big proponent of Kwanzaa and Kwanzaa celebration and instilling the Kwanzaa principles into our everyday lives. As I read to you earlier about what Sister Ani sent me in terms of the African sovereignist interpretation of the Oguzi Saba and how it should be done. But this brother I'm going to bring on has kept the spirit of Kwanzaa in the city of Milwaukee for, a couple generations. That's how deep this is. Milwaukee is one of the first cities that embraced the concept of Kwanzaa. I remember around 70, 71, I went to a Kwanzaa celebration in somebody's home. But then Kwanzaa celebrations began to be public. And he got a hold of an old library, and next to the library was a theater, a movie house. And he had both of them. In fact, I remember we had a Kwanzaa celebration when he was transforming the theater part, and there was wood pallets on the floor, and we had for Kwanzaa, Sister Soldier. And at that time, Sister Soldier was a show enough soldier. And I ain't saying that she ain't now, because she sure is. But at that time, she had been on TV, on the Donahue Show, her and the Ruba Ben Wanhan arguing and putting their position before Sharon Pratt Dixon, who was the mayor at that time of D.C., Cornel West, I mentioned earlier, and others. And she was battling them, and other Caucasians battling the point, and which, you know, you could probably see that still on YouTube now. So, but this is my good friend, Brother Claiborne Benson. Brother Claiborne.
Hey, Brother Oshie, I'm honored to be your friend. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on your show. And you say, I've maintained this for 30 years, but I stand on the backs of many brothers. Brother tells you, Brother Bill Taylor, Sister Tony, and Shakir Courtney, all of them have fed me the message of Kwanzaa, and I've just simply carried the ball just a bit longer. The first Kwanzaa celebration I experienced and didn't know anything about, but listening to some foreign words, was at the McKissick Center with Father Benedict over on the Tichonia Avenue. I don't know if you remember that place or not, but that goes back 40 years, if not farther.
Right.
Our community just simply lit up over this. You know, we had Kwanzaa with a limited space of maybe 50 or 60 people upstairs.
Yep.
And last night we had 425 people in that
beautiful
theater.
I know.
It was maxed out.
Claiborne,
and don't tell
that's
the city of Milwaukee. Please.
that filled me with so much pride. For the last 3 years, I've been seeing Kwanzaa on YouTube in Milwaukee, and it has filled me with so much pride. I saw it last night. I saw it this morning. Somebody posted, I think Portia Cobb posted at least about 20 minutes of the drumming and so forth, and the place was packed. And I was like, I said to myself, man, it was freezing outside. It was sub-zero outside, but the people braved that temperature and came.
They came with their babies. They came with their babies. They came with their husbands and wives. They came by themselves. Old people, young people, they came looking for what Dr. Karina called to affirm their African roots. They came to learn about themselves. They came to feel good. That's why we have our little ones come up to the front.
Yes.
Here is Sister Kira. She's black and beautiful.
That's right.
Here is Sister Kira. She's black and beautiful. Singing power to the people. Singing
power to the people. She's black and
She's
beautiful.
Black and beautiful.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I tell you, I'm so proud of our people. Now, I've enjoyed the Kwanzaa celebrations here at the Shrine, the Black Madonna, and of course, our community here in Atlanta, a little bit larger community of conscious people, but not much.
Yeah.
Brother Claiborne, it's all relative.
Yeah.
You know, it's all relative, you know, but I really do miss it, and I'm so proud of what you have done over these many years with the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, keeping it relevant, keeping programs going.
But brother, you say I stand on the backs of many who has done stuff. They've come through and made their contributions. It's not me alone. It's all of them. And last night, if I may just take another step forward, I transferred my powers to my daughter. I'm getting older now, Brother Oshie, and more and more she is taking a leadership role in transforming and maintaining and managing the facility, and I'm going to be retiring. This will be my second retirement.
Right.
And I worked NBC for 39 years, TMJ, and now we've just finished 30 years there at Wisconsin Black Historical Society. And it's time for the transfer of our power to our young people.
Yes.
Because our young people got to learn. They got to learn
yes.
what to do and,
yes.
and maintain. I'll be around for a while cleaning
sure.
the floor and maintaining the building. And I still have the knowledge of the history and doing research. But it'll be my daughter that will be the new the leader of that facility. And she knows what to do.
Sure she does. Oh, I love Jamila. And also, too, how old is your grandson now?
Oh, Kareem is 21. He's a civil engineering student.
He's an engineering student?
He's 21.
Yeah, he's very intelligent young man.
He's a grown young man, and he's going to be all right. I love my grandson.
Yeah.
And he was in the line, when we had the college students coming
right.
to the front.
Right.
We empower all of them. We build the internal spirit up. They're not just going to school for themselves. They're going to school for the community.
Yes.
We want to encourage them and support them and give them life and energy. And no, it's not easy. But we have great expectations of them to achieve and to learn because we want them back to make a difference in our community. So he was in the line as well as
it's
all
great.
The other college students and high school students.
Yeah.
Encouraging them.
I remember when Malele, when she was at Fisk and she came back and she was in that line with a lot of others, and now Malele is one of the more progressive politicians as an older person in the city, and for what she was able to do in her district and for the city itself, So, I mean, the spirit of what Kwanzaa is all about and how it can be transformative is what I've been talking about prior to last week, as well as this week, and even on Monday, on the last day of Kwanzaa, and throughout, because to me, we must incorporate these principles into our everyday lives. This ain't something that you just talk about from December 26th to January 4th. First, this is something that we can incorporate in our everyday lives and will transform us as a people.
365 days out of a year, those principles should be in our everyday life. Mojo. Kuji Chagalia is the principle today. You know what I do when I do Kuji Chagalia? I can't hear y'all.
Yeah.
I want them to sing so loud that they feel it in their feet.
Yeah.
Because that's the tool they need to overcome the difficulties and the struggles that they're going to face as they try to maintain and become citizens in this country. And the key piece here that Dr. Karinga always talks about, Dr. Karinga and the US organization. Because
right.
we got to give it to the people. It ain't just him, but it's the US organization as well. Affirm who we are. We are African people living in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Atlanta, wherever it is. And if we don't know that, Trump will remind us of it.
Oh, he has done a good job of reminding us. And
yes,
even though, and there's still some of us who believe that some way, somehow, that we can change his attitude and his mind about who and what we are. And there's nothing furthest from the truth. We have to believe in ourselves in spite of what this country has done to us. That's what we got to do. And the Kwanzaa principles, instilling those Kwanzaa principles, will help us do that.
Yes,
no doubt.
Very much so.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so committed to it, brother. Every year.
I know,
next year we're going to broadcast it live, but we may begin to think about moving it to another venue because our world just can't handle every floor.
Are you on?
They always that commercial.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brother Claiborne.
Every floor was packed with people. Every floor. The next door, the library. The auditorium packed with people.
Man.
It was unbelievable.
That's beautiful.
It was unbelievable.
I know. Everything. I love it. I love the fact that the brothers and sisters in Milwaukee came out to support Kwanzaa every year.
And it has grown.
You know, I can remember some really good Kwanzaa presentations that I mentioned before about when Sister Soldier presented at Kwanzaa when you had just gotten the theater and you were doing work on it. And we had pallets on the floor because the floor, you had taken up the floor to level it out because it was a theater, you know, that had a slope in it. But we had Kwanzaa anyway, you know. I can remember.
We had, Brother Oshie, we had floodlights. We didn't have lights.
That's right.
Lights from the ceiling.
We sure
did. Floodlights.
We had floodlights. Yep, we had electrical wires all around us.
Construction floodlights.
Yeah.
On top of that.
Yep.
Construction floodlights.
But we had Kwanzaa.
You remember that?
Yeah. Oh, you know I do. Well, I remember. This is one I will always remember. When we before that, when we did have Kwanzaa upstairs at the library, and we packed people in. We could only get about 50 some people in there, you know. And my mother.
And they stood on the stairways on the way upstairs, listening.
Sure did. My mother.
They stood on, and they would not leave.
My mother, she was at that Kwanzaa. I've never felt so much so proud. My mother was there.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a beautiful journey.
Oh, yeah, and we really appreciate you for consistently doing it. I think that's important. That's important. I remember a time, Brother Claiborne, you had all 7 days. At Wisconsin Black Historical Society. I remember that, you know, before.
I had to check in the hospital after that, brother.
Yeah, man, I feel you. You know, and then, of course, the Sister Josephine Hill and the Wisconsin African American Women's Center came into existence, and you guys have been sharing that Kwanzaa celebration back and forth. And so the opening day of Kwanzaa has been at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, and everybody goes to the opening day, and then there's Kwanzaa celebration throughout the week, pretty much at the African American Women's Center, and then, of course, that last day, which is Imani, and they've had the Kamaru Ye Imani at the African American Women's Center. And it's been beautiful for our community, but once again, the whole idea is for us to embrace these principles and put them into our everyday lives so then that we can begin to respect one another, trust one another, work with one another, build with one another. And we do it for each other, independent of anybody else. They have an interdependency, you know. Because I know that in Milwaukee, and you've been there a long time as well as I have. In fact, you have seen a lot of intimate things because you were a camera person for the local NBC station in Milwaukee. You have been to a lot of stuff, so you've seen it. And unfortunately, Milwaukee has been deemed one of the worst places for us as people to live, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fought the battles on the newsroom floor. to make sure that we got proper representation through stories and materials that aired on the stations. I fought that battle. It was a tough battle, too, for the 39 years I worked for WTMJ television. It was tough, but I thought that that was a reason through affirmative action, and that was a tool that was used to bring me there. That was my mission and goal, not just to be a journalist, although I was a journalist. I thought my first priority was to make sure there was proper representation, that our people was seen in terms of news coverage. And some of the most respected journalists disagreed with me, and that was okay. But I stood my ground in terms of making sure that from the moment we got the story to the moment it aired, that it was done in a way that reflected African-Americans' point of view.
Outstanding.
And I hold true to that.
Yeah, and we appreciate you for being there and all the other brothers and sisters who have manned a camera in one of the stations in Milwaukee that I can remember, and I can remember pretty much all of them, particularly at your station at WTMJ, you know, the brothers and sisters who were dealing with that. But, you know, to me, though, in my recollection of how Kwanzaa celebrations have happened, I attended one. First one I ever attended was in Carol Malone. I don't know if you remember Carol Malone in her house.
I do remember Carol Malone very well.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was one of the first Kwanzaa celebrations that I had with somebody's home. And then when the first public one was at the Val Phillips Y. And
No. The first public one was the McKissick.
Oh, that's right. McKissick. Bobby. Yeah, right. Right.
1967.
Okay,
1967.
Wow. See,
that's the first.
Yeah.
That's the first one.
And see, was my first public one was the one at the Val Phillips Y. And then there were so many others that happened. Remember, they used to have them even at the Milwaukee Public Museum.
Yes, Sister Courtney Dr. Karina to the Milwaukee Public Museum.
Right,
a public museum wanted to sort of take it out of the African American community, give it a venue, a larger audience, and still, but you know, they didn't have a true heart with it, and Dr. Karina bought into it, but the truth of the matter is, if it ain't right, it ain't going to be right. And the people showed them that that's not where Kwanzaa belongs. It belongs. It's about African people. It ain't about multiculturalness.
No.
We ain't interested in it. We're interested in being African. That's
right.
What we is.
That's right.
And they're going to remind us of it every day. So, I'm an African.
That's right. That's right.
I'm sorry.
You know. And that's why to me it was
important.
I also
remember the brothers and sisters who sung that song that you use as your musical intro. I had them at the museum.
Yes.
Scene.
Yes.
Kwanzaa time.
Yes.
Yes. They performed at the museum as well. I think the first year that they made that recording.
I was there. I was at that one with, his name was Steve Cobb then. It's now Kwame Cobb and Chavin Duca. Chavin Duca, her voice is just so beautiful. In fact, I'm going to play another. I'm not going to play that one. I'm going to play in a break here in about 5 minutes. We're going to take a break, Brother Claiborne, and I'm going to play Teddy Pendergrass's Kwanzaa piece. Teddy Pendergrass made a song. I already did play prior to you coming on, Kuji Chagalia. From Steve Cobb and Chavin Duca as well has come together. Now it's Kwanzaa time. It's just an outstanding CD that they put together. And you know, the music is beautiful. Her voice is beautiful. But more importantly, the message is real.
Yeah.
And it's something that we need to infuse into our everyday lives. You know, also too, I'm going to,
I know you got to go to a break, and I won't be but a second. But every group that comes into the museum, and I have tons of groups come in, 3 or 4 times a week, I do Kwanzaa. I do Kwanzaa because I want to make sure that the people who are not don't come in contact with it know that it's not something they ought to be afraid of, that they can embrace it. I'm sorry, you can go ahead.
No, and that's what's important. Our people and the people in general need to know what Kwanzaa is about. Now, you know, I know there were some issues around Milana Karinga, his imprisonment, other activities.
Yeah.
And then also too, yeah, when Milana changed the colors on the flag on the stamp, a lot of us, myself included, were upset.
Yeah.
You know? But to
and
me
the point that we made and we talked about last night, that the Kwanzaa belongs to all of us.
Yes.
It don't belong to Dr. Karinga alone or the US organization.
No.
If you got an ounce of African blood in you, you have possession, you have control and some say about Kwanzaa. Don't give none of those rights up.
That's right. And so we, you know, attempt to consistently hold Kwanzaa up has a model, an idea that if we embrace, our community would be transformed. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Our community would be transformed, you know. And so I appreciate you for the many years that you have helped make Kwanzaa a reality in the community, you know, and that last night was a testament. Just like you said, you may have to next year move to a bigger venue. Because, know, you packed them in on a night that it was sub-zero, y'all. There was wind chill factors, you know. But our community came out. It was cold, you know. And I know, too, that you got to heat that big place. That's tough, too, ain't it?
So, too. Every day I got to heat it.
Yeah.
And we have a minimum budget, Brother Oshie. And
I know,
we have
that's
a
right.
minimum budget. Yeah. We don't have no money whatsoever. But you know, hook or crook, God put this on me. I don't take no credit for this, Brother Oshie. Mm-hmm. It's none owed to me.
Right.
God put this on me to do, and this is what I'm doing too. I don't have no more air to breathe. This is what I do. I do it the best way I know how. I do it every day. He wakes me up to do this.
Yeah.
And so this is what I do.
Well,
I'm blessed with this, brother, every day. Do you remember that congressman?
Yes, I was going to mention that. I was just about to mention that. That idiot. yeah, that cat.
Now, your audience don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, there's a congressman in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He wasn't a congressman, but just goes to show how politics can be and when there's real serious right wing. And he is that, a very right wing Republican. And of course, those people have the right to have their representative. And so they voted his fool self in. And so he wanted to take a issue with Kwanzaa because of Milana Karinga's history and wanted to discredit Kwanzaa. And so he got a Negro, Jesse Lee Peterson. And so Brother Claiborne asked me, and that was kind of odd, because when you asked me, Brother, said, would you go on a program with me to talk about Kwanzaa? Well, you know, I love Kwanzaa, and I know you do too. And I'm a friend of yours, and I respect you. So I said, sure, I'll go on. I really didn't know. Glenn Grofman is the Caucasian's name.
Yeah.
But I had no idea. And then And then when found out it was Jesse Lee Peterson, that Negro, oh man.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the discourse, but of course, if you listen to Jesse Lee Peterson and any other Negro right wing individuals who try to dominate the conversation and to downplay you, you know, it's ridiculous. But me and you held firm. And we held firm about the principles of Kwanzaa taking away from Milana Karinga in any discretions that he may have, that's on him. But what we consistently said, that these principles and these symbols and all this stuff is about African people. And we're trying to reestablish our identity, which you have taken, you know? So we were fighting for that, man. And I really appreciate that, Brother Claiborne, that you asked me to come on. And I think we kicked their butts. I know we did, because we came with truth. You know, and the principles of Kwanzaa.
That was tough, boy. Whew. Man, I don't ever want to be on the radio with that man again in my life. He clearly had a white perspective in his thinking and his behavior.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
I know, I haven't listened to Jesse Lee Peterson since, and you know what was that, 5 years ago, maybe longer, something like that. You know, there's a plenty, especially now that Trump is president, these individuals like him, and I can mention tons others who have come to the fore. They have voice now. The right-wing conservative Negroes have some voice now.
Yeah.
But we're going to take a break, Brother Claiborne. You stay with us. Okay? And then we're going to be right back with more conversation. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradio.com. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. Abaragani, Kujichagalia.
Habaragani, Habaragani, Kwanza.
Oh, yeah. Happy Kwanza. Happy Kwanza. Feel the joy as we sing of the love togetherness can surely bring
emotion.
Set the table, no matter strong, thankful for the first fruits of the year. Stay a light a candle just for you. Come join the party, it's a celebration. Karamu at Kwanzaa time of year. Red and yellow, black or white, no, it's alright. It's a celebration that should last throughout the year.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is much we can do.
All right.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is so much we can do.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is much we can do.
All right. A celebration, remembering times of old. Tradition is the food that fills our souls. Yes, it does. Still, the children are the future of all our hopes and dreams. Let's teach them well. Let's teach them well. Come join the party. It's a celebration. Karamu at Kwanzaa time of the year. Red and yellow, black or white, yo, it's alright. It's a celebration that will last throughout the year.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. Alright.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. Everybody.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. Together there is so much we can do. Happy, 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 happy Kwanzaa. So many ways to show I love you. See, I have faith in all that we do. But we gotta stay together. Just a few of the principles that help us.
Starts at 8, that's when we get praise to the man upstairs for another blessed day. I give hugs to my moms, my dad and my sis. You smell that? I run to see what moms cook.
While we drink from the cup of togetherness, it's that part of the year that you don't want to miss. I give a gift from the heart so you know it's true. So recite a principle and tell me what it means to you.
Hey.
Determination. Work together.
But we've got to work together.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. Everybody.
Happy Kwanzaa.
That's right.
Happy Kwanzaa. Together.
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 There is much
we can do.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Also to other programs that we have here on the Motherland Media Network. Today, this evening, Wednesday, it's Revive with Sister POC, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Tomorrow, Thursday, it's Us Lifting Us, ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. Us Lifting Up from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. And it's Friday, and it's 8 o'clock p.m. It's Time for an Awakening with hosts Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, it's Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Saturday afternoon, Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then on Sunday, it's Revive, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. with Sister PLC. And then Sunday evening, if it's 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. These are the programs that are on our network here. And I just want to go over this very quickly before I get back to my guest. And it's an honored guest, believe me, a brother who has helped keep Kwanzaa alive. Sister Dr. Marimba Ani, Sister my Mama Marimba, she sent me this. This is the African Sovereignist Interpretation of the Nguza Saba. Umoja, the Pan-Africanist vision of African people throughout the world, joining forces to fight for African sovereignty and to build an African world order. Okay? Unity, Umoja, the Pan-Africanist vision of African people throughout the world. We are saying unequivocally, in fact, let me say this to you right now here at this moment, the most revolutionary thing that we can do at this very moment is declare that we are an African people, that we are an African people, whether we're in America, Central America, South America, the Caribbean, in Europe, anywhere on the planet, and truly on the continent, we are an African people. We are one. Next is Kujichagulia, self-determination. African people defining ourselves and determining our own destiny as a sovereign people. We ain't asking nobody for permission. We ain't asking nobody for help. This is what we are doing for ourselves. We are self-determining, self-defining, self-respecting. We're doing it for ourselves. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. African people working together, being responsible to and for each other, and accepting a common system of accountability. That we are accountable. That's the issue we were talking about earlier about Brother Umar. And I respect him. I'm going to come see him tomorrow. I'll go see him tomorrow at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Ujamaa, familyhood. Ujamaa, cooperative economics, creating economic cooperatives based on the concept of African familyhood, interdependence, interrelationships, and community, national and global African unity. Ujamaa, cooperatively working together, being a collective, pulling our resources and doing for ourselves. NIA, purpose. After African people sharing common goals that determine our commitments and guide our choices and decisions, this gives purpose to our lives and to our work and tells us why we were born to be African. That is our purpose. Kumba, creativity. To think with African minds and to create from our own African center. When we practice this principle, we no longer imitate non-Africans. We make our own way. We take whatever we have and we shape it and we fashion it in our image and in our interests, using our creativity, not the creativity that has been exploited, but utilizing our creativity and Imani faith to believe in the vision of African sovereignty and to have the passion and the will and the heart to bring it into existence. Sister Ani, Marimba Ani, the author of Urugu, which is subtitled an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior, a must-read for us to clearly understand what we're up against. Brother Claiborne.
You know, Brother Oshie, just a minute. You know, so the question comes to me is, how do our people affirm these African roots and these African principles of Kwanzaa? You see it in the naming of the children. You see it in the naming of the buildings.
or the businesses. You see it on cars. You see it in people's windows. And you go into their houses, you see these little fixtures of decorations of these principles. You see it in their lifestyle. You see it everywhere you go in terms of that's how they affirm it. That's how they and you obviously can't see it in their head, in their minds, but you see it in their hairstyle.
Yeah.
You see it in their jewelry, in their clothing wardrobe.
Right. Right.
You see it in all aspects of the way of their lives, and hopefully, ultimately, we can see it how they think. But that sometimes takes time to evolve to understanding.
Sure.
What Africa really is into us.
Well, let me say this.
That's what it's all about.
Well, let me say this, because you helped shape that over the many, many years of bringing to our community individuals who have levels of expertise to present to our community concepts and ideas of African sovereignty. I mean, I didn't introduce Dr. Clark. Dr. Rogers did that. But I love Dr. Clark, as you may know. But I did introduce Dr. Ivan Van Sertima. I did introduce
yes.
Dr. Charles Finch. I mean, you've had some great people. I did introduce Dr. Ben. So, you know, I thank you, brother.
And Dr. Ashanti.
Yeah,
was there.
Yeah, Malefi Asante. Yeah.
Yes, and do you know, it's taken me a while. Bob Moses was there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who Bob Moses is? Freedom Summer in Mississippi, and the whole voter rights efforts that led to the restructure of the civil was there.
Also,
Attorney Gray. Do you know who he is? He is the one who argued for Alabama, Rosa Parks.
Yeah,
I stood next to him. Can you believe that? I'm sorry.
No, but also too,
some
you had
powerful black.
You had some beautiful, exactly at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. You know,
yes.
our community should be very proud of you and your tenacity, and your integrity and your will to keep that venue open for our people. Because if you didn't,
you're
where would
kind,
they be?
You're too kind.
Yeah, no, I'm being sincere. I'm being very serious.
And
you know, and the other thing, I remember when you had the widow of Brother Williams.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you know, we're talking about a real revolutionary. That brother had, what was his book?
Yes,
Negro with Guns.
Yes. Wasn't she something?
Yes, she
and
was.
And Williams had to be something.
Too. Oh, yeah.
A man who stood on his own 2 feet said, I'm going to carry me my shotgun in my back window just like you.
That's right. That's right, Brother Williams, man. You know, so I mean, you have brought some dynamic people to our community to help raise the consciousness of our community, and because of that, there are many people in our community who are thankful for that. You have garnered many friends and allies because of that, and we're thankful for you to have done what you have done over these many years. You know, I know even the people who have left still hold you in high regard. I know I do, if they don't. But I know the people that are still there, such as Russ, you know, Commander, all the people, man, you have done some great work. And we thank you for that, Brother Claiborne. And we thank you for keeping that Kwanzaa spirit in our community. Like I said, for the last 3 years, I've been to Atlanta now over 3 years. And, I've seen our Kwanzaa celebration, somebody who had put it online from Milwaukee, when I watch it and hear it and feel it, I become filled with such pride and such joy to know that our community is still, you know, feeling the spirit of Kwanzaa because of you, man. I appreciate that.
Well, not because of me, brother. It's because of all of us. Truly, I take no credit for this, brother. And people are saying, oh, I'm getting emails and calls from all over the United States that we ranked among the top Kwanzaa celebrations that take place in this country.
Yeah.
I don't owe no credit to that, brother. It's on all of our backs to make this what it is. I maintain a spirit of positiveness and giving to our young people and empowering them, sharing the African Senate thinking that the ME organization and Dr. Kringer empowered to us, and I maintain the idea that Kwanzaa belongs to all of us.
That's
not
right.
Just to Dr. Kringer and anybody else. It belongs to all of us. And so that's the only credit I deserve, but it's all of us that makes it what it is today. And even give credit to God for giving me the strength to stand on my feet. Because in a few minutes, I got to go down there and mop the floor for those.
But I know how
make
that is,
real.
Man. Because, you know, I know when we had the Brotherhood Hall, you know, over there on 76th Street, man, that was, I said to myself, I've mopped this floor more than I have mopped the firehouse floor or my floor at home.
See, if you want to build me up, thank you, because I got to mop that floor. And I tell you, nobody wanted to pick the chairs and the tables up last night. I had to do that last night.
Oh, man, all those young folks that was there, you know how we do.
But it was tight.
Yeah.
They were tight, brother.
Well, I see, because y'all was partying. Y'all was, man, working it up, man. I know it. I loved it. I love to see it. I love to hear it. I love to feel it. Brother Claiborne, we only got a couple of minutes. I just want to give you some closing words. Go ahead, Brother Claiborne.
I think I didn't say it all, because I clearly sat on the back of many brothers, including yourself and others who have paved the way, whether they repaired a window or fix the air condition or the few dollars that we receive, we're there to serve the public and make sure that people remember their African roots and to learn about the history of that state and their beginnings, that they too have a mission and goal, and to share that with our young people so that the next generation is strong and vibrant and full of energy and willing to pay the price and to work through the struggles, because it is more than a struggle.
Sure.
I think the biggest gift that I'm able to give to this community is my daughter, who is now beginning to step into her own, and she will be the next generation of them. I may be around there another year or so, but it's going to be my daughter to move ahead with this. So those are my sharing parts as I step into the twilight zone here. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Claiborne, and much love and respect to Jamila, and much strength to her. And I know if there's anything I can do from here, and even when I get back there, give her some love and support to her. We thank you, Brother Claiborne. We end this program like we end every program with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, and not just the MIND, but the MINE, because we stand on minerals that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and don't want to pay for. So, brothers and sisters, Abaragani, and today is Kuji Chagalia. Go out, enjoy Kwanzaa wherever you are, and celebrate the Kwanzaa spirit. Hotep, Shem Hotep, go in peace. Asante Sana. Thank you. Peace, family.
Peace, Sana. Thank you.